Amen. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you, Axel. Beautiful. I can tell those lessons haven't stopped. Pandemic can't stop those lessons and the blessing of the Lord. Beautiful. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. I pray that you may be glorified and uplifted. Open our eyes and our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jeremiah 12, verse 5, it says, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses?" God is essentially telling Jeremiah, cheer up. The worst is yet to come. If you think this is bad, as Troy brought out in the sermon last week, if you think this is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. Basically, if you're already contemplating giving up, how are you going to ever make it to the end? Maybe you're wondering, what does Jeremiah have to do with the Exodus? And actually, it has quite a bit to do with the Exodus. Because when the exile prophets would talk about Israel going into captivity again, they would often refer back to the Exodus. And it was a way that God could say, look, you're going into captivity again, but remember, I delivered you before and I can deliver you again. And it was something tangible. It was something that they celebrated. The Exodus was significant. And so it was a way that God reminded them, if I delivered you before, I can deliver you again. Friends, if God delivered you before, he can deliver you again. In fact, in Isaiah 31:1, we have this powerful verse. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. It is an insult to God when we rush back to Egypt for horses and chariots, because God is greater than all that stuff. My subject, competing with horses. Israel knew a thing or two about Egypt's horses. Maybe that's why when we get to Isaiah, they're contemplating, hey, remember all those chariots and horses? Why don't we go get some help from Egypt? Israel knew a thing about Egypt's horses. Exodus 14:5, it says, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed towards the people, and they said, what is this that we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us? So the first time Pharaoh's got to go get his own newspaper, right? The first time the Egyptians have to wash and wax their own car, suddenly they're like, wait a second, what have we done? Let's go get them. And so it says, so he made ready his chariot and he takes his army. You see, Egypt doesn't want to let go of Israel. I hope you know the enemy doesn't want to let go of you. The moment he has a piece of you, he has a really hard time letting go of it. He doesn't want to let go of your marriage. He doesn't want to let go of your habits. He doesn't want to let go of your web browser. He doesn't want to let go of that family member. And you know, the thing about the enemy is he may seem to let you go for a little bit, but the devil only lets you go so he can run you down and recapture you. Basically, friends, what I'm saying is the enemy will never agree to you being free. Never. In the beginning, the Exodus was exciting, right? The Bible says, check this out, the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they let them have what they asked. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Man, they didn't even have to ask them. People were handing them the keys to their chariot and saying, look, if you go, you can have it. Take it, go, just go. And so in Exodus 14:8, it says that the Israelites marched out boldly. The problem with this is the battle hasn't even begun. So friends, it's easy to be bold before the battle. It's easy to be bold right after the baptism, but before the battle. But remember, friends, it's after you go through the water that you step into the wilderness. Man, it's easy to say, I do in the beginning when you got those warm and fuzzy feelings. It's easy to say, I do in the beginning before the battles, right? But what I want to know is, can you say, I do 30 years later? It's easy being the church before the battle. Man, when we could come to church and do what we wanted and do just, you know, it was easy to be bold, to be here at church. But then when the enemy attacks, when he's hot on your heels, it's not so easy to be the church right where we are, right in that place. It's not easy to be a Christian when the enemy's hot on your heels and breathing down your neck. Israel marched out boldly. This word boldly means defiantly. I can tell you right now, I would be doing a little bit of a defiant strut in front of those Egyptians, especially the ones that whipped me. I'd be walking by them and giving them that look. So check it out. They're walking by them defiantly. So they're kind of strutting. They got that freedom from slavery strut. You know what? We used to strut to church on Sabbath. Now we're just lucky to get here. We're just lucky to turn on the sermon online because the loneliness has gotten to us. It's hurting us. It used to be easy to strut on the Sabbath at church. Now, not so much. The question is, can you strut when things are falling apart? It's easy to strut when things are going well. Can you strut when things are falling apart? Friends, Israel is singing and strutting until they hear the sound of Egypt's chariots coming. And things very quickly changed. Check it out. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And notice, they feared greatly, and the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. I wonder, has anybody here ever been chased by the enemy? Come on, has anybody ever been chased by a bad choice? Has anybody ever been chased by a bad memory or a bad attitude or a bad behavior? Or a bad habit? We've all been chased by loneliness and fear and this year. And I've noticed that no matter how far you go or where you go, your Egypt is never far behind. And so, friends, you can change churches, but your Egypt is going to change churches with you. You know, you can move to another state, but guess what? When you pack up to move, so does your Egypt. You cannot run away from your Egypt. And so check this out. According to Exodus 14:7, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, check this out. Pharaoh selected 600 of Egypt's best chariots. Man, not only does Israel have to deal with the normal chariots, they got to deal with Pharaoh's best chariots. In these last days, not only do we have to deal with regular Christian problems, but the enemy is going to be bringing his best problems, customized just for you. Think about it. This year, not only do we have the regular flu season, but we got COVID flu season. I'm talking about the devil's best chariots. This year, not only did we have the tough reality of being a Christian and having to love our enemies, we had to love our enemies during an election season. Best of chariots. Not only you think it was a mistake, you think it was by chance that pandemic and election, same time, the enemy is trying to run you down with his chariot. Parents, not only do we have the regular hardship of getting family to church, and come on, let's be honest, I got four kids. It's a miracle just to make it. And it doesn't get any easier when they become teenagers. It gets harder to get them to church. Not only do we have the regular problems of getting the family to church, now we got to do it. In order to do it safely, we got to do it in a pandemic, wearing a mask, social distancing, and still praising God while we're at it. I'm talking about the best chariots. Addiction is up. Depression is up. Divorce, off the charts. Unemployment, out of this world. Debt, out of this world. Deficit, out of this world. Suicide, death. The devil is bringing his best chariots. In fact, it says the Egyptians eventually catch up with the people of Israel. You see, not only does Egypt chase us, eventually Egypt will catch up with us. You know, this is why rock stars can be like 50 and look like they're 1,000. You know, Methuselah, I don't know, but I think Methuselah probably looked younger than Keith Richards. Some of you are like, who's Keith Richards? Oh, he's looked like he's 1,000 since he was 30. But basically, that is Egypt catching up with you. When you get your visa bill in January, how merry is your Christmas now? All that spending just caught up with you. All that holiday feasting, can I get a witness? Eventually catches up with you. You see, Numbers 32:23 is clear. Your sins will find you out. Friends, every single one of us has one thing in common, and that is we are all running away from our Egypt in one way or another. And you know what? Your Egypt may look different than my Egypt, but on the inside, the Egypts are all the same. You know what? On the outside, we may look like we're handling our Egypt very well on the outside, but man, we're all wearing out on the inside. Being a slave must have been hard, but friends, let me tell you today, being a Christian is hard too. Anybody who tells you that when you join the church, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump into glory lied to you. It was hard to be a slave. Well, you know what? It's hard being a Christian, because you know what? We have to actually think before we say something. The world just says it. You know what? It's hard being a Christian. You know, when the world feels stress, they just go and drink it away, or drug it away, or go do something and try to block it. But we know in the church that drinking and drugging doesn't work. Drowning our sorrows doesn't work. We don't need any kind of superficial high. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But that's not always easy. No more lying for the Christian. No more cursing for the Christian. No more gossiping for the Christian. Come on. You know it's not easy leaving that Egypt behind. Friends, it's hard enough loving people that we like, let alone people we can't stand. And no, you can't smile at them and still hate them in your hearts. Because according to the Bible, that's murder. Man, this election year, we did a whole lot of murdering. It's murder. Leaving Egypt is never as easy as you think, friends. Don't underestimate the creativity of the enemy. And so check this out. The people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." Check this out. While we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. Israel's already forgotten how bad slavery was. You know, people often ask me, how could someone ever relapse and go back to the drugs after they've made it through all that pain, and it's something called selective memory. We've talked about it before, but basically selective memory, we all do it. We tend to romanticize the good times and romanticize and upplay our good behavior while we forget the bad times and downplay our bad behavior. You know, have you ever wondered how someone could ever go back to be married to that person who beats them up? This is the reason right here. It's called selective memory. How could Israel ever ask to go back to slavery? Well, I could ask you, why do you keep going back to the same sin? Why do you keep spending money you don't have? Why do you keep having to be in control when God needs to be in control? Why do you keep eating to deal with stress when you know that doesn't work? Why do you keep gossiping even after you know it's wrong? Why do you keep losing your temper when you keep saying things that you regret? Why do you keep dating losers when they don't treat you right? Egypt messes with our minds. And just as Peter brought out, a dog goes back to its own vomit. A scrubbed up pig heads for the mud. Basically, friends, the devil specializes in getting us to minimize the beatings we took in Egypt while maximizing the meat pots. Listen, the meat pots were not as good as you remember, and the beatings were far worse than you remember. I hate to break it to you, but Egypt will never stop chasing you. But the good news is God says we can compete with horses. We can compete with horses. Exodus 14, 15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward." Friends, there's only one direction for the church, and that's forward. Stop worrying and complaining about how things aren't right now. I get it. It's hard for everybody. But you got to just keep moving forward. Stop worrying about what's chasing you and start worshiping the God that delivered you. I promise if you prayed more and you were, if we prayed more and we worried less, we'd have a greater Exodus. And so he tells the Israelites to move on. I believe God's telling some people here today, it is time to move on. I cannot give you a future with you always looking back. I get it. The sound of the chariots behind you is deafening. But God is about to split the Red Sea in front of you. You see, some of us are so focused on what's behind us, we're missing the miracle right in front of us. You see, that's why Paul said, my faith has one focus. My faith has one focus. Forgetting what is behind us and straining to what is ahead, I press on towards my goal in Christ Jesus. And not just when the weather looks good, and not just when the path looks clear, but even when the way forward looks like a dead end. I mean, the Red Sea was about as dead end as you get. This was not some tiny body of water. We're going to talk about this more next week. It was this vast, deep body of water. It was vast and deep, kind of like your pain, kind of like your isolation and depression right now. I mean, I want to be real, friends. Things looked rough for Israel. Egypt is on horses, Israel is on foot. Egypt's got swords, Israel's got rakes and pitchforks. Egypt's got trained, well-fed soldiers, Israel has a bunch of malnourished slaves. They're outnumbered, they're outweaponed, they're outtrained, they're outpositioned. But you know what? Israel has something that Egypt doesn't, and that is they've got the great I Am on their side. God's like, I am, as Pastor Ryan brought out, I am your shelter, I am your provider, I am your savior, I am your sustainer, I am your Red Sea splitter, dry ground paver. I'm going to get you through this dead end because our God walks through closed doors. Oh man, sometimes I've discovered God lets me hit a dead end so that I can see my biggest problems are no match for my God. Sure, they may have horses, but with me, God says, you can outrun horses. Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you, and all you got to do is be quiet. The word silent also means be still. It also means having peace. It's not just audible, be quiet. It's also spiritual, be quiet. It's kind of like Psalmist said in 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I've discovered something. When I start losing it, it's because I've forgotten that He's God and not me. You see, that's what's happening here. When we forget that he's God and we start trying to be God, you know what? We start thinking we got to do it all. We start trying to pave our own way through the Red Sea. We try to fight our own battles. But here's the thing, you cannot. You're not strong enough, but your God in heaven is. And so God tells him, lift up your staff, and I want you to stretch out your hand over the sea, and check this out, you're going to divide it, and the people of Israel may go through the sea onto dry ground, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, and I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Friends, if God didn't let Egypt chase you, you would never see all the glory that God wants to show you. Exodus 14, 21, when then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and he made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, there's a really important factor I'm going to touch on really quickly here. So hold on, pay attention, because I'm going fast. But we find this exact same formula in multiple other places in the Bible, and this is important. In Genesis 1, 2 through 3 through 6, it says, the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the very next day, God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. We're going to divide the waters, and we're going to separate them from top to bottom. And so the Holy Spirit is moving, God starts speaking, and then the Word of God starts creating and separating the waters. So suddenly, dry land appears, where once there was a sea of nothing, now there is something solid to stand on. Now fast forward to the flood. God's creation is threatened again, and so God has to remove the expanse that separated the waters. But just like Moses and Israel is rescued in an ark on the River Nile, God rescued Noah and his family in an ark in the flood. And Genesis 8:1 says, God remembered Noah and all the beasts and livestock that were with him in the ark. This is important. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. Check it out. The Hebrew word for spirit in Genesis 1:2 is the same exact word as wind here in Genesis 8:1. Again, we have the, this is why I don't get people who don't believe in the Trinity. Because friends, the Trinity is everywhere you look in the Bible. Okay, here we have the Holy Spirit is moving, the Father is speaking, and his word begins creating. Where once there was a sea of nothing, now there's something solid they can stand on. Which brings us to Exodus. God's creation is threatened by water again. Not just the Red Sea in front of them, but the sea of slavery behind them. And guess what? We run into that same Hebrew word for spirit. You see, the Spirit starts moving. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Friends, just like at the flood, just like at creation, when the Spirit moves and the Father speaks, the Word of God creates something solid to stand on. That is the power that is accessible to you when you are running away from Egypt. This is the God that is accessible to you. When God says, look, I'm going to fight for you, you just be quiet, he meant it. You cannot create. You cannot provide any kind of stability. You've got to rely on God for stability. In fact, God's going to do the fighting. All we got to do is get out of the way. Like Noah, we just got to get into the boat. Like Adam and Eve, they didn't do any work. God did it all. And created them on the sixth day, and the first thing he has them do is rest on the seventh day, the Sabbath, in his finished work. When God says, I'm fighting your battle, I'm doing all the work, he means it. And not only does God deal with the work that's in front of us, hallelujah, God deals with the wreckage that's behind us. And so Moses stretches out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when morning appeared. And check this out, as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. Friends, whenever is chasing you is no match for the God who is with you. Who cares if they have horses? The Bible says we can compete with horses. Exodus 14:25, check this out, I love this, things change. The Egyptians shouted, let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them and against Egypt. So check it out. God starts chasing what was chasing his children. Friends, the devil has more reason to be afraid of you than you have to be afraid of the devil. So instead of running away from your problem, I want you to chase down your problem so that God can defeat your problem in your life. Let God kill the enemy in your life. Let him chase the Egypt out of your home. Let him chase the Egypt out of your marriage, your family. Let him chase the Egypt out of your attitude. Let God chase Egypt out of your life. Egypt's chariots have nothing on God's church. In the book of Acts, the enemy is still chasing the church. The devil's never going to stop chasing you. And check this out. Saul was ravaging the church and entering. Sometimes church folk chase you. There's plenty of Egypt in the church too, you know. Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house, he dragged off men and women, committed them to prison. But check this out. Instead of running away from their problem, it says those who were scattered went preaching the word. So check this out. They're not really running away from the persecution so much as they are running down people for their salvation. What happens? Well, this is really cool. An angel of the Lord says to Philip, hey, I want you to go down south from Jerusalem to Gaza. You see, God's got an appointment for this Israelite and an Ethiopian. Check this out. It says he was returning seated in his what? Oh, competing with horses. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. You see, Israel ran from the chariot to get away from Egypt. Now Philip is chasing the chariot to catch up with Egypt. Acts 8, 30 through 31, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explained it to me. People, that, friends, there are people in your life and in this world who need the gospel shared to them. Not the gospel you may have grown up with, but the gospel that's in the Bible. You see, friends are so tired from Egypt chasing them, they need someone to tell them Egypt's chariots are no match for Christians. It's no match for God's love. And so check this out. I missed a verse here. Acts 8:35, then Philip began with that very scripture in the Old Testament and shared the good news about Jesus. Friends, remember in this series, everything in the Bible ultimately points to Jesus. The Exodus is ultimately pointing to Christ. So check this out. At the beginning of the Gospels, we find ourselves at another body of water, and someone much greater than Moses steps in. When Moses shows up at the burning bush, God, who we find out is really Jesus, the Son of God, he says, take off your sandals, it's holy ground. That's why John, he says, I am not worthy to even untie his sandals. And so someone greater than Moses steps in, and just like we saw at creation and the flood and the Red Sea, the Holy Spirit is moving over the waters again. The Bible says the Holy Spirit descended on him in the bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Friend, what does a dove do? They flutter. The Holy Spirit is fluttering over the waters. And check it out, the Father starts speaking. Whenever the Spirit moves and the Father speaks, the Word of God, which John has already identified as Jesus, starts creating. And Jesus splits the water with his baptism. And he steps onto the other side and he goes into the wilderness. You see, friends, this is the new and better Exodus. Jesus is the true and better ark. This is the new and better beginning of new creation. Where once there was nothing solid to stand on, Jesus, the rock of ages, split the sea of sin and made a way where there was no way. He was treated like dirt to pave the way for you to get through and then swallow whatever is chasing you. Oh man, the waters were turned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, and not one of them remained. Friends, when Christ covers you, not one of your sins remains. Because his blood covers you, no chariot can catch up with you. Because he died and rose for you, nothing, not even death, can defeat you. Because you see, Christ has swallowed up death in victory. Your situation, your problem, your sins, your habit is no match for God's grace. Where sin increased, grace increases more. And no wonder, after he hears the gospel, the Egyptian, when he sees a body of water, wants to jump in and be baptized. You see, he's ready for God to drown the Egypt in his life. But friends, the only reason Israel got away from Egypt, outrunning their horses, was because God got between them, Israel and Egypt. Check this out. Let's see if I can get my remote to go forward here. Guys, you may need to advance my screen because it's not going forward. So check it out. Exodus 14, 19, and 20. Listen. God, who had been traveling front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and now stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Friends, you need to know, on Calvary, Christ put himself between you and your Egypt. In 1 John 4:10, it says, "This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the payment of our sins." So friends, the same thing that enabled Israel to get away from Egypt's chariots now enables Philip to catch up with Egypt's chariots. So friends, is Egypt chasing you? Who cares if Christ is with you? Who cares if Christ is behind you? He covers your past. There are no chariots that can compete with Christ. And so today, let Jesus drown your Egypt, your past, your problem, your pain, your sins and slavery in the Red Sea of Calvary. Let him throw your problem into the bottomless ocean of his blood. Hallelujah. Start competing with horses. Most gracious God, we love you, we praise you. Lord, how much power is in your word that whenever God begins working, miracles start happening. Lord, I just want to praise you for the consistency and the constant presence of your love and your power. I pray, Lord, that each one of us will make a decision today that we're going to keep competing with horses. We're not going to give up and go back to Egypt. We're not going to give up. We can outrun. We can beat the horses of Egypt. Or rather, you can beat the horses of Egypt in our lives. Help us to be silent and let you do the fighting. Help us to be still and know that you're still in control. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, each person here today will allow their Egypt to get drowned in the Red Sea of Calvary. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.